This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I want you to imagine you're walking down the street in the not too distant future. Let's call it the year 2023. And suddenly your phone chirps. You're getting a message from your best friend. And you're on the way to the coffee shop and you'll answer that message as soon as you get sat down. But before you get there, your phone chirps again. And seconds later, once again. It looks like social media is going nuts right now over breaking news from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. So you stop in mid-stride and check out the story. And the story is this. Doctors, we'll call them Stephen Meyer and Julia Whitlock, have accomplished something that's going to be described as probably the greatest breakthrough in medical history. Building on the Human Genome Project, Meyer and Whitlock have developed these practices and protocols which have made them world famous. And it's been established for quite a while now that patients who follow these practices and protocols have dramatic increases in their lifespan. That's been known. But even that pales in comparison to what the Mayo Clinic is just now announcing. It seems that just this week, the team's oldest living patient, a 111-year-old retired teacher, who's been under the team's care for over 15 years, just died quietly in her sleep. But that's not the news. The news is that in a peer-reviewed procedure that's recorded on film and witnessed by medical professionals all over the world, Meyer and Whitlock successfully restored that patient to life once again, after she'd been dead for over 1.5 days. And tests on her show that her cell structure and her brainwave activity resemble someone in the prime of life. And right now, news of this remarkable achievement is just exploding all over the world. Social media is full of it. And the Mayo Clinic has been swamped with requests from wealthy people who want to secure the services of Meyer and Whitlock. Because not only has this pair of doctors seemed to overcome death, but they found the key to that long searched for fountain of youth. And the world's wealthiest people have started to beat a path to Rochester, Minnesota, with the hope that they too will be able to enjoy immortality. And the story ends with this assertion that the futures of doctors Meyer and Whitlock looks very bright indeed. Believe it or not, Almost 500 years ago, Martin Luther imagined such a scenario. And believe it or not, it ties in with our gospel lesson today, where Jesus is being baptized. Writing in his large catechism in 1529, if you can believe that, in words that sound just remarkably contemporary, Martin Luther said this about baptism. Suppose there were a physician who had so much skill that people would not die, or even though they died, would afterward live eternally. Just think how the world would snow and rain money on such a person. And then he continues this way. He says, because of the throng of rich people crowding around, no one else would be able to get near. Now, here is baptism that's brought free of charge to every person's door. Just such a treasure and medicine that swallows up death and keeps all people alive. To me, that just sounds like it could be written this year. And I think it's impossible to read these words of Martin Luther on baptism and not recognize what a huge gift of grace it really is. And how it's freely given by God so that even common everyday people can enjoy its benefits. The rich have no special claim, thanks be to God, on the gifts of baptism. On the first Sunday after Epiphany, which is what this is, we traditionally celebrate the baptism of our Lord. And as we do, it's natural for us to consider how God's gift of baptism applies to us as individuals. And I think if all we ever knew about the Lutheran idea of baptism is that we consider it a sacrament, that all by itself would give us a big clue as to how very important it is. Because if you remember, back in Luther's day, the church identified 7 sacraments. Luther, in his teaching and in setting up the Lutheran church, cut that down to 2. Holy Communion and Holy Baptism. Baptism is in the top 2. It made the cut. And that alone tells us something about just how important it is. Last week, when we looked at the prologue from John's Gospel about how the Word made flesh in Jesus could be summed up in 2 words, grace and truth, we can sort of bring that forward to this week and talk about how baptism can also be summed up in 2 words. And I would tell you that those 2 words are grace and freedom. As important as the act of baptism is, what it symbolizes is just as important. Baptism is an outward sign of a life that has been claimed by God. And it's that moment, whether it's for an adult, a child, or an infant, where the old self is washed with water and the Word, and the new self emerges. Pure and clean and ready to be presented before God. Baptism is all about grace and freedom. With this great gift of grace, the old self is set free from sin and death, and we're adopted into God's own family. And so no matter what age we are when we're baptized, we become children of God. And the wonderful thing is that this gift of grace delivers freedom to us both in eternity and right now, in the here and now. And we know that because when Jesus is talking to his followers in John chapter 8, he says to them, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And he followed that up with this. "So if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed." Jesus is telling his followers about the true freedom that comes from being his disciples. And Luther picks up on this over and over again in the Large Catechism. He affirms the grace and freedom baptism offers. As to grace, he picks a great quote from Titus. We don't often read the book of Titus, but in chapter 3, verse 5, he quotes where Paul writes this. He says, "He, God, saved us not because of the good things we did, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins and gave us a new life through the Holy Spirit." Luther is very clear that baptism isn't a work that we do to gain salvation. Baptism is God's work done in us that we receive by faith. It's pure grace. And as to freedom, Luther taught, and we continue to teach and believe, that baptism is necessary for salvation. And he quotes Mark chapter 16, verse 16 in this regard. It says, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved." So the ultimate freedom offered by baptism is freedom from death, spiritual death. Through our baptisms, we're set free from the consequences of sin. We're delivered out of sin and into Christ's kingdom. But you know, Luther was also very concerned with the freedom baptism offers us as we live our lives day to day. And here again, I think, you know, I was rereading the Large Catechism in preparation for this message today, and I was just struck by how his language just sounds as if it's written directly to us in the 21st century. It sounds so contemporary. About this, Luther wrote, he says, "We must regard baptism and put it to use in such a way that we may draw strength and comfort from it when our sins or our conscience oppress us." Doesn't that sound like it could be written today? Who among us hasn't been oppressed by our own sinful actions, or at least by the guilt that follows afterwards? And Luther says the remedy for that is to remember the promises we receive in baptism. With just great insight, Luther tells us that when we remember our baptism, he calls it daily plunging into our baptism, we're in the process of being saved. We're saved and being saved all the time. Luther says, walking in our baptism is the same as living in repentance. I love the way he phrased that. Walking in our baptism is the same as living in repentance. Baptism, by its very nature, is God's eternal promise to us. It remains forever, even when we fall from it, even when we sin. We can always, always return to our baptism and reclaim it through remembering and through repentance. I want to leave you with one last thought. We absolutely need the freedom baptism offers us here and now. Every one of us struggles with something or some things that oppress us and from which we just need to be set free. These things can keep us from being the people of God that we were designed to be. And our everyday lives are blessed when we do in fact remember the promises of our baptism. It's when our old selves, Luther called it the old creature, dies to sin, and then the new creation has a chance to emerge. When we're feeling burdened by our sins or our conscience, remembering our baptism just comes to the rescue. When we're walking in our baptisms, we're living in repentance. Luther described repentance as, I love this, an earnest attack on the old creature. Isn't that great? And the entering into a new life. This is the new life that we're promised as followers of Jesus. The old creature daily dies, daily decreases until it just has no power anymore to oppress us. Through our baptisms, we're given the grace, the Spirit, and the strength to suppress that old creature and to enjoy the new life promised followers of Jesus. And we can just take great comfort knowing that when we slip up, when we miss the mark, when we sin, that our baptism is still there, waiting to be reclaimed. God's great gift of grace, given to us free of charge, but coming at great expense to Him, is delivered to our door. It's a holy treasure that swallows up death and sets us free to live in God's kingdom now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.